Hello, my name's Kate Mason, and I'm going to give you an overview of Sustainable Development Goal number two, Zero Hunger. End hunger, achieve food security and improve nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. The main gist of Sustainable Development Goal number two is, and these are my edited points, 2.1. By 2030, end hunger and ensure access by all people to safe, nutritious, and sufficient food all year round. And 2.4, by 2030, ensure sustainable food production systems and implement resilient agricultural practices that increase productivity and production, that help maintain ecosystems, that strengthen capacity for adaptation to climate change. The United Nations, with philanthropy trusts, big corporates, not-for-profits, and our governments, are transforming our food systems. The two main justifications used for this are global poverty and climate change, and the culprit that they identify are farmers. June the 9th, 2022, global investors write to UN to urge global plan on farming emissions. Investors managing $14 trillion have urged the United Nations to create a global plan to make the agriculture sector sustainable and curb one of the biggest sources of climate-damaging emissions. This also includes organic farmers, with Gates-funded The Guardian doing regular hit pieces on organics, the most damaging farm products, organic pasture-fed beef and lamb. There is no mention of the role which philanthropy trusts such as Rockefeller Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as big corporates such as Monsanto, Bayer, and other multinational chemical companies, have played in land and water degradation and environmental pollution, how they've invested heavily in GMOs, pesticides, and indebted farmers around the world, or how they have invested heavily in funding research and have an inordinate sway over government policies and reforms. Instead, these same philanthropy foundations, or as they are also called, philanthrocapitalism foundations, are now heavily invested in the food transformation industry. Synthetic food, which is genetically edited, CRISPR, and modified, mostly created or processed in laboratories. There's a large push for proteins in the forms of plant-based protein, which often is heavily genetically modified and not related to natural plants, and also eating insects. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, CGIAR, and the Rockefeller Foundation announced today that they will host the official Food and Agriculture Pavilion at the 2022 United Nations Climate Change Conference. FAO Director General said, "We're proud to have our first ever Food and Agriculture Pavilion at COP27, which is timely with the launch of the two new thematic FAO strategies on climate change and on science and innovation to be implemented in synergy." The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is a long-term partner and funder of CGIAR, which stands for the Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research, which was set up jointly by the Rockefeller Foundation in 1971. We have a quote here from Dr. Rajiv Shah, president of the Rockefeller Foundation, and he previously worked for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and was also employed previously by the US government. And he states that there is a need for equitable, resilient, and sustainable food systems that nourish both people and planet. If we're going to have a transformative food system which is funded by the wealthiest philanthropy foundations in the world, it's important to understand their track record for creating equitable food systems. So let's look at a couple of examples, starting with the Green Revolution in Africa. AGRA stands for Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa. They state that they are an alliance led by Africans with roots in farming communities across the continent. We understand that African farmers need uniquely African solutions designed to meet their specific environmental and agricultural needs so they can sustainably boost production and gain access to rapidly growing agriculture markets. They are funded primarily by these partnerships, including the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. Their funding partner includes the United Nations. Their private sector partners include Bayer Monsanto, Corteva, Syngenta, Microsoft, and other big corporates. If you look on the Agra website, you'll see the word sustainable, inclusive, climate, nutritious, scattered around, and the assurance they're making markets work for farmers. The reality is very different, with African farmers and non-government advocacy groups raising concerns about the detrimental effect of Agra's policies, investments, and farming methods on the environment, food sovereignty, and farmers' rights. Statement on Agra, back in September 2012 by Grain. Grain is a small international non-profit organization that works to support small farmers and social movements in their struggles for community-controlled and biodiversity-based food systems. We are concerned that Agra is imposing a corporate-controlled seed and chemical system of agriculture on smallholder farmers, appropriating Africa's indigenous seed varieties, weakening Africa's rich and complex biodiversity, and undermining seed and food sovereignty of farming communities who make up the majority of our populations. In 2014, Africa-US Food Sovereignty Strategy Summit, the Summit Report. In today's age of crisis capitalism, a new scramble for Africa has begun. Foreign governments, philanthropists, and multinational corporations seeking opportunities for profit in Africa's soil and mineral riches have mobilized the narrative of crisis, be it of hunger, climate change, or population growth, and images of impoverished farmers to justify large-scale land acquisitions, the introduction of biotechnology and new legal regimes aimed at harmonizing seed and agricultural laws to provide market entry for multinational corporations. Participants in the summit agreed that the public-private partnership model has become the key form of the new colonialism in Africa. In July 2020, Timothy Wise of Tufts University published an analysis of Agra's impact in Africa. His research found that undernourishment increased by a startling 30% in Agra countries. He states in his paper, "These poor indicators of performance suggest that Agra and its funders should change course." And September the 2nd, 2021, Africa's largest civil society network calls on Western governments and private foundations to stop funding industrial agriculture in Africa. We are here to state clearly and categorically that the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa does not speak for Africans, says Anne Maynard, director of the Biodiversity and Biosafety Association of Kenya and a member of AFSA. The Alliance for Food Sovereignty in Africa represents more than 200 million farmers, fishers, pastoralists, and indigenous people across Africa. The international call to cease Agra funding comes after AFSA wrote to Agra donors in June to request evidence of the program's success. AFSA received few replies and no credible evidence. "We welcome investment in agriculture on our continent," wrote AFSA General Coordinator Milan Belay, "but we seek it in a form that is democratic and responsive to the people at the heart of agriculture, not as a top-down force that ends up concentrating power and profits into the hands of a small number of multinational companies." It is disturbing that the United Nations still funds Agra and still speaks of its successes, whilst on the ground, farmers have become indebted to corporates and the land has been degraded. What has happened in Africa through Agra, where farmers' sovereignty has been usurped by corporate interests, is happening all around the world. In the end of 2021, the United Nations held a food summit, and hundreds of civil society groups, academics, and social movements are boycotting the first UN Global Food Summit amid growing anger that the agenda has been hijacked by an opaque web of corporate interests. The declaration, signed by about 600 groups and individuals, states, "We reject the ongoing corporate colonization of food systems and food governance under the facade of the United Nations Food Systems Summit." Those boycotting the summit say the UN has given the private sector a dominant role in almost every part of the summit, which will lead to transnational corporations and their allies in the nonprofit and philanthropy sectors having greater scope to direct food policies, finance, and governance. As a result, they say solutions will be market-led, piecemeal, voluntary, and heavily weighted towards increasing food production through capital investments, big data, and proprietary technologies. Critics say that this approach will enable a handful of corporations and individuals to expand control over the global food system to the further detriment of the vast majority of people and the planet. The corporates are well aware that the difficulty will be in getting people to accept synthetic foods are better for them and the environment. So they've needed to embark on a PR spin which equates synthetics with equity and environmental sustainability and also being able to feed the world. So here's an example of how they do it. In 2014, a group of powerful agribusiness executives met to organize a PR campaign that would put synthetic biology and GMOs in a more favorable light. Dana Peres from Friends of the Earth attended this meeting and later wrote, "Inside the Sin Bio Better Cultured Food Meeting, the meeting was under Chatham House rules, which means I can't disclose who said what. However, I can say that the meeting was an alarming insight into the synthetic biology industry's process of creating a synthetic-coated media narrative to confuse the public, ignore the risks, and claim the mantle of sustainability for potentially profitable new synthetic biology products. Over the course of the day, primarily CEOs, directors, and PR people from powerful chemical and synthetic biology companies bounced around tales of promise, discussed how to position synthetic biology as a solution to world hunger, and made blithe claims of safety that were not backed up by any actual data. We were asked to brainstorm stories that paint biotech applications to food in a positive light. And when I asked how biotech companies will protect small farmers who are producing the truly natural products, I was met with a hard, cold stare, silence, and a non-answer about needing to meet consumer demand. Regarding future directions that we need to keep our eye on, there's an MOU that was signed between the Food and Agricultural Organization, the United Nations, the World Organization for Animal Health, the World Health Organization, and the United Nations Regard Environment Program. This was signed in March 2022 regarding cooperation to combat health risks at the animal-human ecosystems interface in the context of the One Health approach. One of their objectives is improving collaboration and foresight, risk assessment, preparedness and response to emerging, re-emerging and neglected infectious diseases at the animal-human ecosystems interface. I'm concerned that there's going to be a ramping up of biosecurity risks and that this could be another way the most wealthiest to collaborate with the United Nations and are invested in synthetic food will be able to pressure farmers off the land and get food production into labs and factories. The final piece of the puzzle I'll speak about in this presentation is Codex Alimentarius, which was established in 1963 by the Food and Agricultural Organization and the World Health Organization. And Codex was established for the sole purpose of setting the standards and guidelines for all food that is consumed by human beings, including pesticides, ingredient labeling, and even what is considered food. The National Health Federation is the only health freedom organization accredited by the Codex Alimentarius Commission to participate at all Codex meetings. And here is what they say about the corporate capture of Codex Alimentarius. Industry influence on Codex. For all intents and purposes, Codex Alimentarius unites over 150 accredited industry and other interest groups with an even larger number of national health authorities to make the rules for a globalized society where corporations have free rein and what they like to call a level playing field. But the playing field they construct is so restricted by red tape, and the level parts are so completely occupied by corporate interests that anything smaller than a multinational falls off the edges into commercial insignificance. We are in the middle of one of the largest psychological operations of our time to invert our understanding of what is healthy. As is evident, there's a focus on altering our perception of food from something that's grown naturally in the earth to something that is synthetically engineered in laboratories. In this world of doublespeak, farmers are being demonized, whilst massive corporates are dominating the market with synthetic food. They craft narratives, they fund the research, they set the parameters for the research, create partnerships which influence democratic governments, and ultimately wield unbelievable power and control. The people on the ground, the farmers, fall under their sway and have no real capacity for choice or autonomy, and our food is caught in their web. As Kissinger famously said, control the food and you control the people. Do you want your capacity to buy or grow food determined by the wealthiest in the world who keep gobbling up all resources and centralizing control? Do you want to eat what you're told to by the self-termed elites, which profits only the wealthy? If not, it's imperative that we move away from the large corporations, the large supermarkets, and buy directly from our farmers. They need our support.